Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, handsome listeners, we're very excited to announce a handsome live show on Monday, February 12th that you can stream from anywhere in the world. Our first show was so much fun that we're doing it again, and we'll be taking your guys' questions. Plus, we're going to have a bunch of surprises and maybe a special guest or two. So get tickets at DynastyTypewriter.com now and join us. Again, it's February 12th. Your link will last all week, and you can get tickets at DynastyTypewriter.com.
Chatting with friends on the handsome pod.
Cheers. Welcome to another episode of Handsome. It's me, your friend Tig Notaro, with my co-hosts.
I'm May Martin.
And I'm Fortune Themester.
And we are
We're so handsome.
And we're queer.
So some people
haven't gotten used to it.
Some people are so not used to it. And I feel bad. You guys were just recording ads without me because I'm sick.
What happened, little cowboy? You got a cold?
Well, thanks for asking, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's got that like chest thing. And it's not, it's so boring. But I just had an IV this morning. They came to my house and did one of those like.
Oh, yeah. I like those.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I guess when Rihanna's hungover or whatever, I don't know why I went with her, but.
Who's Rihanna? Oh, the singer.
Rihanna?
Yeah.
Rihanna?
Wait. Did you think I was, yeah. Wait, you say
Rihanna. Rihanna.
Is this like a pasta thing?
It might be. I think it is. I thought it was Rihanna, but I could be wrong.
But also, why her? Does she get?
I don't know why my brain went there. I don't know that I'll be extra funny today because I'm like closer to the void. Like the veil between worlds is thin. You know, so you know when you do a show and you're sick and you're like, I'm never gonna get through this, and then it's weirdly good because you're like trying hard and you're kind of out of it.
I always am surprised before I go on stage when I'm not feeling well how it is never an issue when I'm on stage. Like the adrenaline overrides all.
Completely.
It's really, I mean, that's my experience, but it's pretty crazy. And how are you feeling, Fortune?
I'm feeling pretty good. I went on a hike. I was in the pool this morning doing the treading the water.
Gosh.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm a pillar of health.
And you're up to an hour now, right?
I have done an hour, but I'm averaging 45.
That's impressive, man.
So I got up early, got in the pool, started doing some of that. And then realized I had a little extra time. So then Jax and I went on a hike.
Because
I've just been really busy. But I've been trying to get some fitness stuff in the mornings before all the crazy work stuff.
That's always so good. You feel just pumped ready to go for the day. It's always good to just have your plan or your goal, and then you just don't let anything get in the way of it. I'm doing this.
If I don't get to it, then I don't always get to it. I mean, if I don't get to it first, I don't always get to it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be better about that. Although I have been heating the pool like when I go to bed. And so when I get up, it's
like a warm bath. You're slipping into a warm bath.
Jax got in it the other day and she's like, it's like a hot tub in here. She's like, our gas bill is going to be astronomical.
Was she treading with you or was she just floating around talking about finances?
She loves floating around talking about finances. She got in right after me because I had to start my radio show. And she's like, let me try this treading water thing. But we don't have a deep end and we're both really tall.
You don't have a deep end?
No, it's like 5 feet.
Oh, whoa.
I've had to do a kind of a sort of breaststroke like treading thing.
So right, I'm kind of like tucking your legs
around
up
in
a
circle.
Well, and that's the thing is it doesn't matter as long as you are staying afloat.
Yeah.
Because I've been in pools like that where I just swim or, you know, just do other strokes that I think maybe I made up.
You should patent some strokes, Tig.
I have many to show you. Oh, and great. And they're little they are the treading forms that I have or strokes that I've come up with.
Pioneered.
And I challenge you, Fortune, though.
Okay.
To tread water in an unheated pool.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
You do
why
that?
Does it get it gets harder and harder.
I have done it, and I'm telling you, when I've gotten out of the pool that was not heated, after treading water for 1 hour, I felt like King Kong. I was just like, rawr! I had so much energy. I was so, my whole day, I was on like cloud nine.
That's like an insane cold plunge.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that when you do cocaine, your dopamine increases 2.5 times, but it maxes out at 9 minutes and then it starts plummeting again. But when you do a cold plunge, in a cold plunge, it's 2.5 times as well, same as cocaine, but it lasts for 2.5 hours and it's climbing the whole time. Ooh. Like the 2.5 hours after, your dopamine is still going up. So yeah.
All these coke addicts need to just jump in a cold river.
Yeah,
they probably are. They're probably doing that too.
Chasing
but
the
I'm
dragon.
Telling you, when I tread water in a cold pool, my whole day I'm amped.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll heat it a little, but not as much.
No.
No, Tig wants you to
I
go.
I can't imagine getting in there for an hour in
okay,
a cold ass pool.
Let me be honest. Let me be totally honest.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, a pool that is not heated in the summertime.
Yeah. I mean, LA is not crazy cold, but it dips to like 40 at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the early morning, you're talking about a pretty chilly pool.
Yeah. Well, in the summertime, in the morning.
Okay.
That version of a chilly pool, once it warms up, I challenge you to that.
In the summer, for sure, I'm going to be scooting around that cold pool.
In fact, I'm going to come over and we'll scoot around together.
Please.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Put it on the list, Thomas.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be good for immunity?
I feel like swimming and cold water, that's good for everything.
When you guys were kids, did your parents have any weird like home remedies when you were sick? Like my mom used to grate an apple with a grater. So it was just a bowl of like grated apple.
My grandmother had a lot of homemade remedies because that's, you know, how older folks of that generation, they would be like, I've got a book and it tells me all the things that I need to do. Like she would have an aloe plant.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a sunburn, she'd break off a piece of the aloe stem.
Well, sure.
But her favorite remedy was putting in a suppository.
No, stop. What do you mean favorite?
When you have a sunburn?
I mean, hey.
When you have a sunburn, you put in a suppository?
Just any ailment. She'd be like, I think you need a suppository.
And oh, my
like,
God.
I don't know. But I was young, so I didn't know.
How many suppositories did you get?
I think I had a lot.
Oh, my God.
And did you insert it yourself or did...
Yeah, I didn't have my grandma put anything up my butt. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh my God, but how
would she be like, oh, your tummy hurts. I know what you need. I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Oh my gosh.
Did you start to just keep your ailments to yourself? Because you're like, oh, I know what I'm getting.
If my head hurt, here's the suppository. So I didn't tell her I was gay. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Girl, no, you did not.
But for real, a lot of suppositories. I think that was an old school, like, they just felt like that was the thing. You had to clear it out.
Just get it out of your butt. Yeah.
Get it out of your butt. Or drink a Coca-Cola.
So to get it out of your butt, you have to put that in there?
Yeah.
So you're putting yet another thing in there?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing.
It was not a pleasant. It was not pleasant. I haven't had one since she's died.
I wonder where she got that, if it was like intergenerational suppositories or if she just kind of was into it.
Well, we have a long line of people in our family. Her mother did it for her, and her mother did it for her.
Was she ever at an age where she was confused and was like, I have to put an aloe
plant
in your bottom?
Once I hit 16, I think I stopped the suppositories. So that was when she started.
16?
I mean, maybe 15.
Fortune.
Man, isn't it once crazy?
Once I could drive out of there and
buy your own suppositories. I never hear that word anymore.
Me neither.
I know, because it was very old school. That's the word, right? Suppository, the thing
that is
in your butt.
Very much, yeah. I just think it's crazy that when you're a kid, you just are like, all right, I guess. Like, whatever anyone tells you is going to make you feel better, you're just like, well, you got to do it until you turn 16.
I also had, when I was born, really blonde hair like this. Like, right now, my hair is pretty blonde. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, it started getting a little darker, and she was like, oh no, like
suppository time.
We gotta get those blonde curls back in there. So when I would go to T-ball, she would
gotta get those blonde curls back in there. Like it's we couldn't pop. What were they turning brown?
They were just getting a little darker.
Really turning into like normal adult hair from being like toddler
when
hair.
I was
right?
only five. I would go to T-ball and she was like, well, you're already gonna be out in the sun. She goes, you know, she would squeeze lemon juice all over my hair.
yeah my mom
this
too.
Woman sounds like a mess.
I would go play T-ball with lemon juice on my hair, but she didn't
and
take
a suppository in your
she didn't take into consideration that at some point I would sweat, and the sweat would bring the lemon juice into my eyeball.
Oh my god.
So I'm like trying to hit a T-ball and like swinging all over the place because I can't see anything.
Well, whenever I would go out to eat with my family, my mother would, you know, I mean, I guess I could have gone into the bathroom to wash my hands like a civilized person with soap and water. But my mother would always take the lemon off the table and squeeze the lemon juice in my hands and have me rub my hands together.
Really? That's very sticky, no?
No, it's a natural remedy.
Unless you have a cut on your hand and then you're screaming.
Then you're screaming. Sure.
Yeah, well, if that happens, just grab a suppository.
Yeah,
you know?
Or an aloe. It's strip of aloe.
I have, at the moment, I was putting on moisturizer, I guess, and then my girlfriend had these, like, you're on board? It puts the lotion on it. What's we were talking about that
put
one.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, and so my girlfriend has these self-tanning drops, and so I added them to the moisturizer. I added a couple, put it on my face, and then I wake up in the morning and I don't know if you can see, I'm not giving you the finger, but it's brown. It looks like I have poo on my finger.
It does look like you have a poo
looks
finger.
Like somebody was doing a suppository.
I know, it looks like this fake tan has pooled around my middle finger and I have just a poo finger now and I don't know what to do.
What an interesting
a poo finger
thing if somebody was only tanning a portion of one finger.
Yeah.
Do you self tan, Fortune? Would your grandmother want that?
I went to a tanning bed once in high school because that was all the rage in the late 90s was the tanning.
Also in the 80s, let's not forget my elderly crew.
Shout out.
You know who has a tanning salon attached to their salon is our friend Debbie.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, yeah. You can go get your hair cut, and then you can, in the same building, you could go get a little tan. Oh, a drop of sun never did anyone any harm.
Oh. Debbie's still rocking a tanning bed. I didn't know people still sold minutes.
Well, you have to, right? In England, because isn't it overcast most of the time?
Totally.
I've never done tanning or sunburning. However, this last summer, we had such an outdoor circus festival of a summer that I got the tannest I've ever been. Real. And people were constantly mentioning how tan I was. I mean, you could not get our family indoors. We were at every beach in the world and climbing every mountain and biking and surfing and surfing lessons. It was quite a summer.
Seems like it.
Yeah, so I just did a natural tanning.
Well, you look gorgeous.
I guess I was just waiting to hear that.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way.
On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it'd be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined that somebody might try to actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet.
Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
We've been talking about it on the podcast. I've been treading water lately. Just a few minutes out of my day that I take for myself to do something that's good for me. I wake up feeling better. I have more energy. And you know, small actions like that can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Well, Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. Now, I've been using Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic, and it's great. My skin feels better. I feel better. It's just good. So trust your gut with Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/handsome and use code 25handsome to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/handsome, code 25handsome.
Should we get into our question?
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, today's questioner is best known for the late night shows he hosted for nearly 30 years, including Late Night and The Tonight Show. His hit podcast is called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and he's one of the funniest people on the planet. That's right, we got our handsome friend, Conan O'Brien, to ask us a question.
Oh, man.
Woo, woo.
Hey, handsome pod, Conan O'Brien here. And my question is, if you could go back in time and stop any one thing from happening,
oh man,
what would it be?
Whoa, one thing that you could stop.
I was going to say I'm starstruck from hearing his voice. I've met him like two or three times. I'm like a deep fan. I think he's probably one of the reasons I started doing comedy.
Yeah, he's so funny.
Man,
I used to watch him when I was growing up and the masturbating bear and everything.
How silly he was and how self-deprecating. And And then that's someone who, like, you know, meet your heroes. He was so funny when I met him. And I was like, thank God he's exactly like you think he's going to be, you know?
I grew up watching him, like, high school into college. But Tig, you had some pretty epic Conan appearances. I watched the one of you scooting the stool across the stage many a times.
Yeah, that was fun. I ruined their floor when I was dragging the stool around.
Seriously?
One part of the stage is, I guess, plexiglass, where they have lights underneath the plexiglass.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I popped up onto that area with the stool and started dragging it. And they had to replace that whole portion of the stage. And then Conan told me that after I left that day, the sound engineer would play that through the speakers through when they were doing run throughs, just to drive everybody insane. Just the sound of the stool dragging on the stage.
Oh my god,
that's amazing!
Yeah,
really. My personal,
I have two other personal favorites of times that I went on Conan. One was when Stephanie and I, before we were an item, I wanted to act like. Yeah, I called her and I wanted to act like I was just that I didn't even care that I was on TV and just talking to someone.
That was in your documentary. It was great. You said, I got to take this real quick. He's like, all right. You guys played so well with each other. And then Stephanie answers, hey, what are you doing? You go, oh, nothing.
Yeah. You go, I'm just talking to this guy. Yeah, that was great.
And then my last one that I really loved was John Doerr, another Canadian,
yeah.
One of the funniest people, genius. I think, alive. He and I went on there and we did a whole bit about Goldilocks.
Yes, and, I remember this.
That was one of my...
I don't think I love saw John that Doerr. One. I gotta Google it.
John Doerr. Yeah, he's so funny. God, he's so funny.
So you would come up with these bits before you would go on to, you're like, I think this could be funny, and you would just run it by Conan, or you would surprise him?
Well, I had like this ongoing list of ideas that I had, like that didn't feel like it quite worked for my stand-up. Mm-hmm. And I would think, oh, what can I do with this? And then when I would be asked to go on the show, then I would talk to the, you know, segment producer and just run it by them. And but it got to a point where they would tell me, oh, Conan trusts you. You can do whatever you want. And so I didn't even really have to run anything by them. In fact, the Stephanie part, he didn't really know what was happening.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah. He's so funny. Yeah. So in his question, is he's saying in history what we would stop?
Yeah, I guess you could interpret it as stop an event from your own life more broadly from history. Yeah,
if you could go back in history and stop one thing, what would it be?
I mean, I have a bunch of things coming to mind.
I know. You probably have some facts coming our way.
Well, I don't think so. It's more like I'm wondering if you whatever extinction event happened that killed the dinosaurs, if you stopped that from happening, would humans have still evolved, and then it would have been us and the dinos at the same time on the planet? Because that would be pretty cool. It might have humbled us, you know, to have like not be the apex predator.
So you would want dinosaurs wandering around with us?
Yeah, stop the extinction event.
I think we would have gotten eaten, right? Would we have even made it out of that time?
It would be really hard to like let Max and Finn go out and play and just be like, keep an eye out for the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I'm scared of coyotes.
Yeah, that's true.
So you want to stick with that?
No, I'll rethink that now that I'm thinking about Max and Finn. And I don't want them to have to be like scurrying around little holes underground trying to hide from dinos. So, no, you're right.
Well, it's not just about Max and Finn, but I would be very concerned about them, you know, because they love playing outside, and be really stressful if there was a T-Rex that was in the neighborhood.
And the whole premise of Jurassic Park is basically like, you think you want this, but you don't.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, you would hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You see the dinosaurs. Oh my god, this is amazing. They're majestic and gorgeous. And then roar.
Do you know what happened? I talked about this in my animated special on HBO, but it is a real story. I used to work in childcare, and this woman that I worked with drove me batty, okay? Drove me batty. And I was cleaning up the room, sweeping one day, and she came in and she was talking, and I was like, okay, yeah. Was not paying attention. And then I heard her say, yeah, and then the dinosaurs started eating everybody. And I said, wait, what are you talking about? And she said, have you not heard about it? And I said, no. And she said, oh, yeah. The science, she explained like the science behind it and how dinosaurs came back and they were eating people. And I was like, right now? And I, there was such a miscommunication. I couldn't believe how casually she was telling me that they had brought dinosaurs back and that they're running around eating everybody. I was like, what the hell are we doing here talking about this? We gotta go. I mean, it was terrifying. And I missed that one little chunk of information that it was a movie called Jurassic Park that was out now.
That's so
I was not
funny.
Familiar. Yeah. But yeah, I just was so used to tuning this woman out. And man, was it terrifying.
What was it about her that drove you so batty? Just one of those people.
Yeah, just one of those jobs where such a different mix of people end up working together. And I think about it all the time, actually, when I'm on tour. Well, when I was on tour in the early days and staying at kind of low rent motels, yeah. And I'd drive up, show up to this place. It was so seedy. And then behind the desk is like an 80-year-old woman with a gray-haired bun on her head, and then like a 19-year-old goth kid. And they're both employees working behind the counter.
Yeah.
On the night shift. And I'm always like, how are they getting through? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
What is happening here? And so it was kind of a similar thing in that job where, you know, there was somebody maybe my age. I think I was like, I don't know, 22 or something. Mm-hmm. And then... she wasn't like a gray-haired bun on the head lady, which if you are, that's fine. I'm two steps behind you with the gray-haired bun on my head. I'm just saying, like, people from crazily different worlds working in these types of jobs.
I used to be like that in England when I started touring. You'd go with a bunch of comedians that you didn't know, and you just see if anyone was driving, because England's so small, you're just like driving up to Glasgow or something, and you'd end up on these like 6-hour drives with these random comics, and that you'd be like, we would never cross paths in life. This weird assortment of, I remember this one guy was going to drive me up to like Newcastle or something. We were going to do a show, and then we'd been texting like, oh yeah, I'll pick you up XX. Because in England, everyone does X. And then I get there and I got my little guitar to do my musical comedy. And then I get in the car and he goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is so embarrassing. I thought you were a girl. So I was ending all the texts on XX. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is back when I, yeah. Anyway.
Wait, he thought you were a girl?
So he thought he was texting a girl. So he was ending all the texts with XX and like being really sweet. And I guess talking differently than he would to like a blokey male comic. So then I got in the car and he thought I was a blokey male comic, so he was like, oh shit, sorry, I thought because of your name that you were a girl, so I was texting you with all these exes. It was so uncomfortable because then we had a 6-hour drive together after that with
he's like, I take back my exes.
You didn't identify as non-binary then?
No, so I was like, I am a girl. And he was like, oh no, yeah, oh sorry, oh anyway, so what's this show we're doing? Like, that's so embarrassing.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
Just, in those situations, I just go way overboard trying to make the person feel comfortable and not embarrassed. So I was just like, well, anyway, I think you're such a good comedian.
I am a boy.
Yeah, whatever you want me to be, I can be. Or like in Serbia, I went on tour in Serbia and I ended up in this car with all these like weird Serbian comedians drinking this plum liqueur that they were passing around, and they're smoking in the car with the windows up, and I was just like, what is this job? Like, yeah.
Is there a big comedy scene in Serbia?
No, it's really in its infancy. And so you got
I would imagine.
Totally. And you have these Serbian guys who are basically imitating American comics that they're just discovering. So you've got like the guy who's doing Mitch Hedberg, and you got the guy who's doing it's crazy. Yeah.
There's like a small scene in Budapest too. That's trying to start. Had you gone to do any comedy there?
No, have you?
Mm-mm.
I have not either.
You just heard on the grapevine.
I've had a friend that randomly went and did a show there, and they were trying to get a little scene going.
Get the handsome crew out there.
Out to Budapest.
Chatting
Serbia first.
On the handsome pod. Internationally.
Now, not to, you know, come out of Fortune solo.
Thank you.
That she's taken there. Yeah, apologies. I was thinking, I'm forgetting what that time period is. I guess it was around World War II, just when everything became... Oh, like the Industrial Revolution, was that around World War II?
Before World War I, so around 1900-ish.
Okay, I have a seventh grade education, so my apologies, but that is the time that concerns me the most, because I feel like that's when the planet started to go to hell.
That's so true. So if you could like isolate like the one guy who invented like petrol, like combustion engines or something. That man, because that's when Dickens was writing, and the way he describes just like the thick smog in London, and he said that the Thames River was like a poisonous snake from all the like chemicals, and he described like these piston heads of the big machines, and he said that they moved like a crazed elephant that was stuck in its cage at the zoo and just going nuts and moving its head. That always haunted me.
It said it started in 1760 and it ended in 1840.
Oh, the Industrial Revolution?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Wow, was I way off?
That's what this says. Jesus. This is Google.
There were two. There was one that was the time that May is saying too.
And what time? Does it say what time frame that was?
1870 to 1914.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's called the Second Industrial Revolution.
Okay. Well, whatever. All of the pollution and everything that happened to this planet during that time period. I mean, obviously it's so great to have advancements in certain areas, but it's just such a bummer.
Yes. And for like 100 years, it's like we're driving towards a cliff and there's all these turning points that we could take. And we're just like, whatever.
We're about to get eaten by a pterodactyl.
What about you, Fortune?
I was trying to think in my head, like, would I go way back in time, or like a more recent thing? Like would I go to where the pandemic started and however broke out?
And then have that not happen?
Have that not happen, maybe?
So you're good with like a polluted planet?
I mean,
that's it. You're interpreting. I mean, anything else we say now, you're going to be like,
what about it? Give a shit.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, I thought I had to pick something different. We couldn't all go in on the second industrial
revolution. If you cared.
I mean, I do care for sure. I don't want to get eaten by pollution dinosaurs for sure.
What about like in your personal life? Is there any moment in either of your personal lives that you would go back and stop?
I always go back to, I wish I never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Yeah, you've said that.
I think about it every day, and I can see the impact that it's had in different areas of my health. And it's like, once you lose your health in certain ways, you can't turn back. And it's just such a bummer that like, I just wish I didn't do that.
How long did you smoke?
Oh my God. I smoked from the time, I mean, not consistently, but I started smoking around 8 or 9. And then
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like a real Huckleberry Tig.
How did you get a cigarette at 8 or 9? Just they were laying around?
Everybody in my family smoked, and I could just smoke in my bedroom because the whole house smelled like smoke. So it wasn't like I had to go hide somewhere and do it. The whole place reeked of smoke. And so
Tig,
that's what my friends used to call me.
I'm picturing you in your, you're in like a kid's bedroom, like your 8-year-old bedroom. You're reading like Charlotte's Web, but you got a cigarette.
No, I'm listening to the Beatles.
Yeah.
I started very casually smoking at that age. And then I would say when I was 11 is when I started smoking. And then by the time I was probably 13, 14, maybe it was a little old. It might have been around 15, 16. I had dropped out of school. I was 2 packs a day smoking.
Yeah, wow. We're very similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same time frame.
Mm-hmm. I was a big old dork. I had like one puff and I was like...
That's going to hurt my singing voice.
Yeah, you're like, how am I going to hit that big note?
I'm a delicate flower. I can't be smoking on these cigs.
I do wish, like, the first time I was about to do coke that someone said, you could do a cold plunge. Just get in this ice bath instead.
So is that what you would go back on, May? Is you wouldn't want to do coke, or is there something else?
Well, I think, like, we've maybe touched on this before that I'm... Because I like my life so much right now, I'm always wary to fuck with the past. When a wizard presents me with the opportunity to go back in time and like change something, I'm like, oh.
I'm a wizard.
I'm like, oh, May. I don't trust this guy. Like, would you trust that voice?
May, would you like to go back in time and change one thing? I can do it because I am a wizard.
What is your name?
Why did you choose me and what's your name?
My name is... Willy the Wizard, and I have come to just change one thing, and I promise, if you change that one thing, nothing else bad will happen. Wink, wink.
I do not trust this guy, Tig.
I do. I do. Hey, Willy, what's up?
What's up?
I would Hey, I'm Tig.
Hello, Tig.
Yes, if you could take cigarettes out of my past, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, I had a mission to grant one person one wish, and this feels like a lot to ask for another, but I guess I can also grant you one wish. There are a few things that might happen if I take that one thing away. Some other things might happen like, that weren't great.
Like in a photograph of Tig, like people just start fading out. You know what I mean? Like the butterfly effect of that one change. Mm.
Can I show you a picture of me long ago smoking a cig?
Hold on. I have to go. Goodbye.
Let me show you. This is about as gay, long-haired smoking as one can get. Changing attire.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Holy
You look
shit.
Like such a dyke.
Can you send that to us?
Yeah, can we get that on our phones?
Okay.
Tig looks so I like her. Dykey butch.
And my hair is long.
Your
it's like
so
the gayest
long.
Photo. I'm changing attire. I've got grease all over me.
You look like Dave Grohl and Nirvana.
Seriously, that is like album cover material.
Yeah, I should probably post that on social media now that we're talking about it. What am I doing keeping this a secret?
Let the world in.
Well, that's a good one. Taking back the smoke. And May, I think you're not sure about the cocaine because you probably rehab, you know, transformed you in a lot of ways.
Well, I've managed to monetize my trauma in a lot of ways. So I'm like,
well, there. I mean, isn't that what our job is as a comedian?
Sort of. Yeah. I think I would go, you know, there's this one night where I was dancing in a bar and having so much fun and feeling really confident. This is recently, like 6 years ago or something. And I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling so like I'm dancing so confidently with all my friends. And because I'm not a natural dancer, but I was like a bit drunk. And then this really beautiful Argentinian woman came up to me and was dancing with me. And I was like, oh my God, yes. And then she leans over and she goes, don't be Pinocchio. And I went, what? And she goes, don't be Pinocchio. You're so stiff like Pinocchio and awkward. It's okay. You can dance, move, try and loosen up. And I was like, I will never dance again. I hate you and myself. I went and sat down and I was like, fuck that. Like, I really thought I'd crested a hill with like dancing. So that's maybe I'd go back and I'd take away the woman saying, don't be Pinocchio. Because every time I dance, I think, don't be Pinocchio.
I wouldn't take away any of the big, hard things that happen. Because like you're saying, May, I do think that builds a lot of things that you need for other obstacles later in life. I would maybe go back and eat more fruit and vegetables and have it be something that like is such a part of my life as a kid that I like love it and crave it as an adult.
Mm-hmm. It might have messed with the suppositories though.
That's probably why I was taking suppositories. I didn't have enough fruit and vegetables.
Probably wouldn't need those.
I'm gonna save my butt from all those suppositories if I had just eaten some Brussels sprouts.
If you needed to have somebody help you with a suppository, would you ask Jax?
Oh, I
would
thought you were going to volunteer.
No. I don't care what medical situation you were in. I would not do that for you.
I would do it. Of course I'd do it.
Plugging some butts with the handsome pod. Plugging some butts with the handsome pod.
I'm asking about this because one of my favorite stories that Kevin Nealon has told is when he and his wife Susan first met. He was so constipated.
Oh no.
I can't stop telling everybody this story, but he was so constipated, he was in fetal position when she came over for a date.
What?
And he was like, what? Can you go get a suppository for me, please? And,
wow.
And he said, the image he used that just kills me is that he said that, and she did this. She inserted the suppository.
No.
On a first couple of dates.
He said it was like trying to insert a suppository into a brick wall.
Oh my God.
And he said that after she did it, he thought, oh gosh, now she's seen this. Should I push her down the stairs and kill her?
Or marry her?
Yeah.
Kill her or marry her.
Yes. And they're still together. But
wow.
One
that
of my
true love.
I don't know why I love that story so much. I guess it truly just sounds
really
like
funny. The
worst nightmare possible.
If
I was Susan, I would think this guy's in, he's got a suppository fetish. He's pretending he wants me to. Yeah. I'm way too. Like, I as soon as I'm sick or have to, like, I wish Parvati thought I was like a machine. Like, I don't want to show any vulnerability and I want to always look so fresh. But when I do get sick and I have to like accept care in that way, I'm like, I suddenly turn so soppy. Like, I would propose to any of you right now. Like, I get very romantic and kind of like insecure. Like, I'm scared I'm going to propose in my sleep.
You like
or something.
To be cared for, nurtured.
No. Do you think I do? And that's, I think I hate it, and I get so, like...
It seems like you love it.
It seems
it
like
happens.
I love it.
Yeah.
And so, wait, is that, like, your biggest fear of proposing?
Yeah. Yeah, in my sleep. Just because I'm so insecure that I'm being seen as, you know...
As vulnerable?
Fallible and human, mm-hmm. and not, like, a kind of sex robot that I'm like... Oh God! I guess. Oh, will you marry me? Like I don't know. That I don't
they
know why
don't
my mind.
They don't see me
went.
As a sex robot anymore.
That's what you want to be seen as, for
you
sure.
A sex robot.
Yes, completely.
Wow.
I love to care for people, and I'm not squeamish at all. And like I love when people are like, I had
sick.
A girlfriend who used to every morning we'd wake up.
People are sick.
I love when people are sick. I dated this woman who every morning when we would wake up, she had like stomach problems. She at first like she thought I was still asleep and I would just hear her, I'd feel her body tense and then she'd be like Farr! And I go, did you just fart? And she's like, oh God, sorry, I just and, anyway, and then she
was it
I
Debbie
was like, yeah, oh sorry my oh yeah no, but then it turned out that I was, it didn't turn me on, but I was like, it's so cool that you're confident enough to just fart
turned
on me
you.
In bed. It started to almost, like, it wasn't a fart fetish, but I was like, it's so badass. Because she stopped trying to hide it. So we'd wake up and she'd just go, and fart. And I'd be like, crying, laughing. And I was like, it's really cool. Because I would never in a million years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Kind of, or no?
About the fetish?
just how cool it is if someone's like that unembarrassed about farting. And it's like, it's hot because it's, they're like, I know you're so obsessed with me that you won't even care if I just fart. Of you guys, I think I'd probably feel most comfortable weirdly having Thomas put a suppository. I find him really calming. He's got a very nurturing energy. Do you find that, Tig?
Yeah, he's very nurturing. I mean, he's nurtured me for nearly a decade.
Yeah.
I like to think I've nurtured him in ways as well.
No suppositories so far, though.
But I would do it.
Arranged. Yeah.
Tombus would say, all right, I've gotten three brands. I Googled, and these are the top leading brands. And I went to the internet and I Googled what is the best way to insert said suppository.
I found the best suppository for each of you as individuals.
Yeah, this one is better for you, Fortune, because it has, and then you list these things.
Fruits and vegetables. Now, Thomas, would you suppository us?
Would you suppository us?
Yeah, if you needed that.
In a crisis, in a crisis.
Yeah, and you
were just out of laziness.
I don't think so. Out of laziness.
If I was like, Thomas, hey, I'm so tired, but I totally need a suppository.
Would you
like,
just suppository me?
Do it?
Oh, she's tired too.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
That was pretty easy. That didn't take. That was impressive.
What if you ask Willy the Wizard? I'll do it, but I'm going to need some things in return.
What is that, Willy?
2 years of gold.
2 years of gold?
Oh my God.
2 years of gold.
2 years of gold.
I'm starting to think.
You know how much that is.
I'm starting to think that Willy the Wizard is just a random guy off the street who wandered in.
No, May. I'm starting to think Willy the Wizard is just Fortune Feimster.
What?
Yeah. 2 years of gold. How? So wait, is it 2 years consistently?
You know exactly how much that is. Don't act like you don't.
That is what my kids would have said when they were like three. They would be like, you owe me 2 years of gold. Because I would ask them, like, they always would guess people's ages, people's weight, that kind of stuff.
I don't want them to play that game with me.
And they would probably be like, you probably weigh 2 weeks and 4 pounds, you know, like nothing would make sense. Yeah. And that's what I'm on to with Willy the Wizard.
Well, he disappeared. I don't know where he went.
He got embarrassed.
And also it was a he?
Yeah, Willy.
Yeah,
the
Willy.
He. God. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you guys are so caught in gender norms that Willy can't be
Wilhelmina.
Or non-binary.
Yes,
Willy, sorry.
Jeez,
told you what
everyone.
He needed, and he left. Would you suppository us? That's the new, like, test of love.
You know, you were just saying about your kids being funny, and then it made me think of some funny stuff that this 5-year-old I live with said. And I don't want to be that person, but I have to. I got no outlet for this because I don't really do it in stand-up. But we were playing Go Fish, and I go, do you have a 6? And she looks, and she goes, no. And I went, oh, damn. And she goes, you're in Hollywood, babe. She's fine. It was really good. You're in Hollywood, babe.
You're in Hollywood, babe.
We were eating and she has like a stuffed animal pig. And she kept saying like the pig was my friend. And then out of nowhere, she goes, May's ancestors are pigs. I was like, where'd you learn the word ancestor?
Where'd she learn the word pigs?
Thanks.
May's ancestors are pigs. I wrote it down because I thought you should like open an email address and email yourself all the funny shit that Max and Finn say so you don't forget it.
Didn't I tell you I have a document for their whole life? It goes on for pages.
Oh my God.
I date everything. It's an ongoing document that I've written down. And when I'm out of town, I have Stephanie text it to me if they say anything funny, and then I add it to the doc. Aww. And it's so old that the subject title is baby quotes.
Oh,
and
my
they
God.
Are, they're going to be 8 in June.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And when are you going to give it to them, like on their 16th birthday or something?
Well, I erased it.
Oh.
No.
Oh, such a twist. Yeah, I decided, fuck it.
Yeah, just got rid of it. So should we see what Conan has to say?
Yes.
Okay, handsome pod, here's my answer. I'd go back to 1987, and I would stop the manufacture and sale of compact discs. Yeah, turned out it was a waste of time. We all bought compact discs. We were told it was really great. Great way to listen to music as a digital. And then, whatever. Short time afterwards, they said, forget it. And by then, I had spent easily, maybe, I don't know, $15,000 on compact discs, often buying the same album over and over and over again, which is on me. I don't know why I did that. It was a compulsive thing. I don't know. I'm thinking about it now, and I'm thinking, really? Compact discs? What about stopping World War II? I didn't think of that.
Mm.
I should probably go back and say I'd stop World War II. Shit. I didn't think about this enough. Okay. All right. Well, it's too late. I'm going with compact discs. Compact discs, 1987, not World War II. Damn it.
Did you guys buy a lot of CDs? I think that's really made me think, that answer. Well, I guess similar with like Blu-ray and like VHS.
I had a lot of CDs, yeah.
You still have them?
I think I finally tossed them when we sold our house. I had like the big, what do you call these things? The stacks that were in a thing that you flip.
CD stacks?
Like it's sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but the folder thing.
Yeah.
I love CDs.
You
loved
do?
Them. I was kind of bummed when everything went digital. I was like, oh, this isn't as fun.
Well, because now you don't really own anything, right?
Yeah, it's all just out there.
I liked having to choose one CD to take out for the day on my Discman, and you'd listen to the whole album all the way through, you know? And then, you know, it would always skip, so you'd have to hold your Discman kind of flat.
I used to be so stoked to get the CD because it had all the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
In the little folder thing,
and then you could sing along,
because that's before you could Google the lyrics anything. So I was like, oh, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I loved reading the lyrics and also looking at any pictures that were on the inside sleeve. Oh, I guess I'm thinking more of vinyl right now, but loved vinyl record sleeves. Pull that out.
We should have just skipped CDs and tapes and stuck with vinyl, right?
Easy to play in the car.
There was nothing better than someone making you a mixtape. That means they were like really digging you.
I used to make mixtapes with, and I made one called like comedy mixtape. And so I would rent from Blockbuster my favorite. It would be like Billy Madison with Adam Sandler. And I'd like fast forward and find the funniest lines, and then I'd record them onto the mixtape, and then so I had this compilation of just like funny lines from movies and comics, and like I'd put on like my mom's Steve Martin vinyl and then like record a line of him being like, you know, excuse me. So this was just a psychotic tape of just like like just mismatched.
Wow,
I love it.
Well, that was a real treat to have Conan O'Brien visit the Handsome Pod.
Truly an honor.
Is there anything we want to talk about before we head out of here?
Well, we have a live streaming show happening February 12th. Mm-hmm. We're doing a show at the Dynasty Typewriter. It's going to be all about love, but not just for our friends and relationships, for our single friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your questions are regarding that can be also about coming out. It could be about meeting people. Could be about our experiences, whatever you want. We can also give advice. It's going to be so fun, and you can watch it from anywhere.
I think we've sold out the in-person tickets already, but you can stream it from anywhere in the world, and you go to dynastytypewriter.com and you get the link and you can watch it for like a whole week. Even if your time zone is different, you can watch it whenever you want.
I might dress as a pretty little lady.
Please.
Oh my God, please. I'll be
whatever
blushing.
Your version of handsome is, that's what we want.
You should dress as you changing the tire on the long hair, cigarette, backwards cap.
Full of grease.
Do you guys have any shows that you want to promote?
Well, I have a show that Stephanie and I have been doing called She Said, She Said at Largo. And it's where we talk about our family and each other and issues that have come up.
It's like my dream comedy show is watching you and Stephanie talk. Like that's so great. I will be there.
Well, it is very fun. And that's at Largo. And then I have some shows at Dynasty Typewriter. And then I'm also going to be in Peekskill, New York on March 8th. And then they added another show in Waterville, Maine on March 10th. Come on out and we'll see you there. What about you, Fortune?
I'm on tour. So if you want to catch a show, February 18th, I'll be in Poughkeepsie, New York, then Houston, Texas, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Wilmington, and Durham, North Carolina in mid-March. Los Angeles got a big show there on March 23rd at the Theater at the Ace Hotel. San Luis Obispo, Albany, New York, Hartford, Connecticut. New York City on March 30th at the Beacon Theater, Bakersfield, California, Rancho Mirage, then Seattle and Toronto. Go to fortunefeemster.com for tickets.
Nice.
I've got actually live streaming two nights at the Elysian on the 15th and 16th of February with Stephanie Allen, Tig's wife, and Alana Johnston. We're doing two nights in a row of improv that we're going to also live stream. So you can get tickets to that. And then I'm at Largo on the 24th of February with amazing guests. I got Zooey Deschanel. Yeah, it's going to be sick.
Last but not least, we have merch. Yes. We have great merch, some really cool stuff. So check it out. People have been sending us their pictures with their handsome shirts on and hats and all the stickers. It's so cool seeing people out in the world being handsome.
Seeing people at our shows too, like our live shows wearing the merch. It's very surreal and very cool. And as always, we're so grateful to everyone for listening and getting into the pod.
Yeah.
Really, it's so exciting.
You can get that merch at handsomepod.com. So go do that. And as we always say, tell your friends about the show.
Subscribe, tell friends, share an episode. If you have a favorite episode, share it with who you think would like it. It's really fun to watch the show grow. And I don't know, until next time.
Keep it handsome.
Handsome is hosted by me, Tig Notaro, Mae Martin, and Fortune Feimster. The show is produced, recorded, and edited by Thomas Ouellette. Email us at handsomepod@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at handsomepod.
What a podcast!
What a podcast!